Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 and 19. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So two of them went together. And they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And your seed, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abram dwelt at Beersheba. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the Lamb that was provided by the Father as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, dear fellow redeemed. If you've been paying close attention these past four Sundays to our sermon texts, then the words of this morning's sermon must have pained your heart. For the past four Sundays, we've been hearing God promise to Abraham and Sarah a son that would come in their old age, a son that would be the beginning of that line of the Savior. The Messiah, a son that had been promised for 25 years. When Sarah was 90 and Abraham 100, Sarah gave birth to a son. They gave him the name Isaac, which means laughter. And Sarah said after Isaac was born, God has made me laugh so that all who hear will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Imagine those early years. In awe and wonder, Sarah must have just held that baby and looked into Isaac's eyes and thought of all those years of promise and just thank God that at 90, being barren all her life, she now had this baby boy. In awe and wonder, Abraham must have watched his son learn to walk and run and play and grow up, realizing He's the beginning of the ancestry of the Messiah. And then suddenly, in one day, everything changed, and Abram's life was turned upside down. God, who had tested Abraham's faith and his love by commanding him to leave his family, his home country, his homeland, and go to a land he'd never seen before, who had tested Abraham by waiting 25 years for that promised son to finally be born, now lays upon this humble child of God the ultimate test. Abraham's training of faith now reaches its climax. But this test was not for God's benefit. This test was for Abraham's benefit. And as we'll see later in our sermon, also for yours and mine. We've chosen to look at this morning's sermon text from two different perspectives. And that's why if you look in your bulletin this morning, there are two themes for this one text. The first talks about Abraham's obedient faith and love, which is an example for us also to follow. The second talks about Abraham's sacrifice of his son Isaac on Moriah and compares it and applies it to God the Father's sacrifice of his son on Calvary to help us prepare our hearts as we draw closer to the Lenten season. Remember all those promises? Stars in the sky, sands of the seashore, so many shall your children be. Through Isaac, all the blessings of the families will come through your seed, Abraham. And now all those promises seem unreal. They almost seem cruel. But there could be no misunderstanding. The same Jehovah who had appeared to Abraham in visions and spoke to him all those many, many promises, now clearly was there before him again and said to him, Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, not Ishmael, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Not so bad there. And then God said, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Let those words sink into your hearts for a moment. Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. God is emphasizing the preciousness of his son. He's Isaac's, or Abraham's, one and only legitimate son whom he loves. Now take that son and go and offer him as a burnt offering. The burnt offering in the Old Testament was a blood sacrifice, which symbolized the person's complete devotion and dedication to God. God is saying to Abraham, how dedicated are you to me? Do you love me more than your precious son? In order for Abraham to show that he indeed loved God more than his son, he would have to go through the motions, prepare for this sacrifice to be made, and ultimately sacrifice his son. For it's one thing to say, I love you, Lord. And it's quite another thing to say, or to do, that love and put into practice. And that's the first point of our first theme. Our theme is, put your faith in the Lord who provides with complete obedience to His word. You can imagine, no doubt, Abram spent a sleepless night tossing and turning, wrestling with his thoughts, emotions, his feelings, This was not like God at all. This was completely out of character to demand a human sacrifice. The Canaanites, oh yeah, they had a god Moloch, and they sacrificed their children regularly to that god. But not the one true God. The one true God who had given him promise after promise after promise. This not only seemed to violate a father's love for his son, but seemed to violate God's love for mankind and God's own promises. How could Abraham even hope for salvation and everlasting life if he killed the very one who was to be the one who would begin the line of the Savior? How could Abraham even hope to be saved and stand on Judgment Day and face this heavenly Father if Isaac were killed? The promise is very clear. My covenant I will establish with Isaac. Martin Luther, in writing on this Bible lesson, described Abraham's predicament in these words. To human reason, it must have seemed to Abraham either that God's promise would fail, or else that this command must have been of the devil and not of God. Nothing seemed to make sense. But that's the whole point with our first point. Faith does not rest upon sense or feelings or emotions or reason, but upon God and upon His Word. No matter how unreasonable it may appear to be. What a gut-wrenching, heartbreaking anguish Abraham must have felt that entire night. And yet, amazingly, we are told Abraham rose early in the morning. He didn't wait a few days. He didn't think about it, mull over it, meditate on it for a couple weeks or months. No arguing, no backtalk, no questioning, no running away from obeying the Lord's command as years later Jonah did. No, just complete obedience to God's command. In fact, absolute, prompt obedience the very next morning. How could that be? Only because the Holy Spirit had worked in Abram's heart, our second point, implicit trust in God's promises. It took 3 days for Abraham and Isaac and his two servants to get to the place God had told them to go, Mount Moriah. And you can imagine, Satan had a heyday of trying to fill Abraham's thoughts during that 3-day journey of dozens of reasons why he'll get there and then he won't follow through. I can't follow through on this command. And Abraham had one reason why he would follow through. Implicit trust in God's promises. God had never let Abraham down in the past, and Abraham trusted that God never would. So when they started up the mountain, Abraham told his servants to stay behind, and he said, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." What a confession of faith. First, Abraham describes what he's going to do. We're going to go up and worship. We're going to worship the Lord. In other words, Abram's going up there and he's saying, "Lord, you have my heart. Your will be done." And secondly, Abram believed God's promise that through Isaac, the Savior of the world would come. He believed that if he offered up Isaac as a burnt offering, somehow God would raise those burnt ashes and Isaac would live again. What amazing, confident trust. "We will come back to you," Abram said to his two servants. How do we know that's what Abram thought? Because God tells us that in Hebrews. In the New Testament book of Hebrews 11:17-19, we read, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called.' accounting, that is, thinking, that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. But there was more pain in Abraham's heart. As they were slowly walking up that hill, and Isaac had the wood, Abraham had a knife and the fire, either a torch or some pot with burning coals in it, Isaac says to his father, "My father, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" That question must have cut Abraham deeply into his heart. And that's the third part or point of our theme this morning. Abraham had absolute assurance of God's mercy. In love toward his son, in absolute faith to God the Father, Abraham said to Isaac, "My son, God will provide him for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Abraham relied not only on God's justice, but also on God's mercy. If there was a conflict between God's command and God's promises, resolving that conflict was God's business, not Abraham's. Abraham had learned that long ago. Remember last Sunday? When Abraham went along with Sarah in her human plan, "Maybe it's not my child, maybe it is just from you, so why don't you take Hagar, my handmaiden, to be your second wife and have a child?" And Abraham went along, what a mess that caused. Abraham realized his business was simply to rely and trust and obey. Abraham had to disregard everything his heart, his mind, his reasons, his feeling, his emotions were telling him, and concentrate completely on God's promises and God's grace. And with simply a powerful words, the Lord God describes what took place. "And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. Then he bound, tied up his Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Only the all-powerful love of God could have moved both Abraham and Isaac to obey God. God knew that in Abraham's heart, the necessary sacrifice had already been made. Abraham had surrendered his will, his wisdom, his reason, his heart, even his son, in obedience to the word of his Lord. So the Lord quickly called Abraham to stop. And fulfilling the words of Abraham's faith, Abraham looked, and there was a sacrifice prepared by the Lord, provided for him, a ram that had his horns caught in the bushes. What an amazing lesson of obedient faith. But in our text, we also see some striking similarities between Abraham, Isaac, and this sacrifice, and the sacrifice of God the Father of his son, Jesus, on Calvary. Seven comparisons or similarities I've listed here. First of all, Isaac was the promised son from whom would come salvation. Jesus is the promised son who brought salvation into this world. Secondly, Isaac was a miracle son born in Abraham and Isaac and Sarah's old age, beyond the age of childbearing. Jesus was the miraculous son who was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the virgin's womb. Thirdly, Isaac was Abraham's only legitimate son. Jesus was God the Father's only begotten son. Fourth, Isaac was greatly loved by his father Abraham. Jesus was beloved by God the Father. Fifthly, Isaac was an innocent victim. in that he hadn't done anything to deserve being sacrificed and offered upon the altar of the burnt offering. Well, Jesus was the ultimate innocent victim for the guilty world, the spotless lamb, the most holy, the one who knew no sin. Sixth, Isaac carried the wood on his back, which he would have been laid upon on the altar. Jesus carried the cross on his back upon which he would be hung. And the seventh, Isaac was willing to be bound. Silently allowed his father to bind him, lay him on the altar. Didn't fight against his father. And so also Jesus, willingly, like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth and was laid upon the cross to be sacrificed by his father. So our second theme is this. When we look from Moriah to Calvary, we see a father's willing sacrifice. God the Father loved a sinful people so very much that he was willing to actually send and sacrifice his own son. We mentioned how much anguish of heart and soul Abram must have had in doing what he did. Well, God had that and far, far more. Because God did send his son. God did sacrifice his son. God did pour upon Jesus all the wrath and condemnation and punishment for every single sin, for every single person this world has ever had conceived from the beginning of time to the end of time. John tells us in his first epistle, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be that propitiation, that atoning sacrifice for our sins." What great love the Father has for me, a sinner, and you, sinners. Secondly, when we look from Moriah to Calvary, we see a son's unquestioning obedience. Even as Isaac obediently allowed his father to tie him and lay him on the altar to be sacrificed, Jesus obediently set his face toward Jerusalem, went to death, willingly gave himself into death. But that's why he came into this world. He was born to die. He was sent to suffer as the perfect obedient sacrifice for all people. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we hear Jesus crying out, "Not my will, but yours be done." To Peter, who tried to defend him with his sword, he said, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" And just before he died on the cross, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And cried out, "It is finished. Everything you commanded, Father, it's all been done. Willingly." And finally, we see when we look from Moriah to Calvary, we see a substitute which was offered. Here's where Isaac is not a perfect type of Christ, because Isaac had a substitute. Isaac had a sacrifice, the ram. We all have a sacrifice. Isaac has been redeemed and bought back from sin, death, hell. You and I have been bought back by Jesus, our substitute, our sacrifice. But for Jesus, there was no other. There was no ram somewhere, or sort of lamb somewhere. There was no Jesus for Jesus. He was the lamb. He was the sacrifice. He was a savior for all. He had no one to step in and take his place. No substitute. He was the substitute. As I said earlier, he himself is the propitiation for our sins. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Christ was delivered up for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Abraham, in love and thanksgiving to the Lord, called that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. It was God who provided a substitute for Isaac, the ram caught in the bushes. And it's God who's provided for you and me so that we don't have to suffer eternally in hell, a substitute, the perfect Lamb of God. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful lesson for us to meditate on today, tomorrow, the rest of this week, as we prepare our hearts for the upcoming Lenten season. Abraham had to look far into the future. He looked beyond Moriah. He looked all the way to Calvary to see the fulfillment of what happened there. And he did. We heard a few weeks ago that Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it and was glad. So this morning we too have to look beyond this Old Testament lesson, beyond Moriah, all the way to Calvary to see the fulfillment, to see our substitute Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we too will be able to proclaim Jehovah Jireh is a Lord who will provide. Provide me with obedience to his word, implicit trust in all of his promises, and the assurance of God's mercy. Because there upon the cross, hanging between heaven and earth, was the only substitute for you and me. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.